on his people. And he made Jerusalem the center of the world. And he did that so that Israel could get out the message about the coming Messiah. And he blessed them unbelievably. And unfortunately, they squandered away and rebelled against the plan of God. And now, in our study with Ezekiel, they are in captivity in the Babylonian Empire, out of their own land, and made to be the slaves of these people. So Ezekiel is there to be the prophet from God, to beckon them back to truth. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer is to give you an opportunity to test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit. We had our little prayer meeting and a lot of things to be in prayer about, but I was being prayer for the Coopers. Her father went home to be with the Lord 2 weeks ago, and they've had to go to Oklahoma and take care of things, so let's be in prayer for the Coopers. Let's be in prayer for Jeff and Natalie as they will be traveling this week to Colorado and rest a little while. So I pray that God will give them a good time, but mostly bring you back safely. And we're thankful that Dorian did not onslaught to Phyllis Music and our wonderful lady there in Florida. And she, I think she said her patio got wet, and that was it, and nothing else. So we're thankful for that, but there are a lot of people that are hurt. A lot of churches in the Carolinas are going to be in trouble this coming weekend. So let's be in prayer for all these people. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. For without it, Heavenly Father, we would not know your plan. We would not know your gospel. We would not know your truth. But Heavenly Father, we are so dependent on your Spirit to teach us and open these truths up to us. Pray, Father, your Spirit will open our eyes tonight to things you would have us to see. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, very quickly, Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 5. Thus says the Lord God. That is a powerful statement throughout the entire book of Ezekiel. This is Jerusalem. I have set her at the center of the nations, with lands around her. Then we come to verse 6. But she has rebelled against my ordinances, more wickedly than the nations. Now the King James translates this, but she has changed my judgments into wickedness more than the nations. The Hebrew favors the translation rebelled against. For the nations to have changed them, they would have had to have had them, and they didn't. So, it is Israel who rebelled against the ordinances of God. And, continuing verse 6, and against my statutes, more than the lands which surround her. For they have rejected, so at the beginning of verse 6 they rebelled, toward the end of verse 6, rejected my ordinances, and have not walked in my statutes. Now we look at the heart of these people and are warned against it in our own country. But now let's look at the second descriptive word, reject my ordinances. We've looked at, they rebelled. Now let's look at reject my ordinances. The word to reject describes what's going on in America. The word means to reject. It means to despise, to abhor. Let's just take what God's Word says about homosexuality. Abomination, unnatural, gross immorality. Well, what's the position of most Americans? They detest what God says about homosexuality far more than they abhorred homosexuality. So they are offended by what God says more than by the evil. And so America better wake up. I think the time is coming, like we saw last week at the end of chapter 44 of Ezekiel, enough. God will reach a point, He will say, enough. And that is coming. Now, one more thing about, before we leave this all-important verse 6, and I'll tell you right now, I struggle in my office. I just wanted to read chapter 5 and move on. I started reading it, and boy, it just came alive. So, you're going to have to bear with it. And verse 6, two words used to describe the Torah. They rebelled against my ordinances, they have rejected my ordinances, and have not walked in my statutes. Well, we could spend hours on ordinances and statutes. The word ordinances refers to judgments. Now people, generally when we think of rebellion, we normally think of wildness, guns, battles. Don't move so fast. America has been changed by our judicial branch. Our judicial branch has changed America. Liberal, anti-God judges on the Supreme Court as well as the other courts. It's amazing how Satan has changed the foundation of America through our judicial system. An interesting study of American judicial decisions is to study from the time America accepted Darwinism over creation in our schools and the decisions made by the courts. It's frightening how that is so pinpointed. A strong point in the change in American history. And what is interesting is that a Yale, of all places, a Yale professor warns that Darwinism will destroy you if you challenge the theory. David, and I'm going to give you his name, David Gilmer. G. David, and then his name is G-E-L-E. M-T-E-R. G-E-L-E-M-T-E-R. And it is time, he said, to drop Darwinism. It's outdated theory. It's time to drop its outdated theory. But even if we do, even if this Yale professor were to catch on, it has contributed to an unbelievable change in America. But there are so many other horrible judicial precedents passed down. So this is not only true of Israel, but also of America. And what is interesting today, I don't know how well you've kept up with it, but the Democrats are so upset with the Supreme Court. They have threatened the Supreme Court. Like FDR did. We're going to put more on. You people don't know what you're doing. And it's so funny. Some of the things that conservatives used to say, they're now saying. They are so fed up with the Supreme Court and the decisions the Supreme Court is making. So, it's interpreting law has to do with your fundamental view of law. And one of those quiet things that Trump is getting accomplished is appointing judges all over the place. Not just on the Supreme Court, but all over the place. And while the media is all excited about what he says about some movie star. He's over here appointing conservative judges and doing this and doing that. And they're over there screaming and hollering. He's getting done what he wants to get done over here. Politically, economically, judicially, he's getting it done. But the media hasn't caught on to that yet, so let's don't tell them. Okay. Now, not walked in my statutes. This is the declaration from God in the Torah as to moral and social conduct. What God desires from His people, God cares more about walking according to His way than offering sacrifices, people. And this is even before. Look at Genesis 18. Look at Genesis 18, verse 19. Genesis 18, 19. For I, God, have chosen him, Abraham, so that, and I hope that you've learned to read the Bible slowly and carefully, and pay attention to the so that's and the buts and the therefores. Those are crucial in the Bible. For I, God, have chosen him, Abraham, so that he may command his children, that's all the Hebrews after him, and his household after him, to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him, all the riches and prosperity that he's promised Abraham. They and us will learn and know of his righteousness, either by learning it from the Word of God or by experiencing it from his wrath. One way or the other. And any well-trained child learned that from his parent. You can learn, when they say no, they mean no from the Word and all this. Or you can learn it the hard way. And it's just that simple. And I love that woman that reared me. She just said, or else. That's all she needed to add. Or else. That was good enough. See? So we can learn righteousness of God from the Word of God or from the wrath of God. But we will learn it. Look at Proverbs 21. Verse 3. Proverbs 21, verse 3. To do righteousness and justice. Now, I'm not here to study the Proverbs passage, but just look at this. Not be. When you believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, you're imputed righteousness. But doing righteousness is in our life and must be by the power of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. Now, to do righteousness and justice is desired by the Lord more than sacrifice. He cares more about what we do in our life in regard to morality and his ordinances and his statutes than he does in our offering sacrifices, our giving money, even going to church. It's, do you believe it and do you live it? Now, parents, make up your mind. Which is more important to you? That your children get a good education in schools or in learning and knowing the ordinances and statutes of the Lord? That's up to every parent. You may know the right answer, but is that the way you live? You may know they're knowing the ordinances and statutes of the Lord are far more important. But is that the way you live? See? But why does God make such an issue about their rebellion against His ordinances and His statutes? Why is that? Let's look at Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4. Okay, we're going to look at verses 5 and 6. Deuteronomy 4, 5. See, I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do thus in the land where you are entering to possess it. Before they even entered the land, these things are known in the Torah. So, keep and do them, for that is your wisdom and your understanding. Now look, in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. There used to be a time when America was caused other countries to be jealous of us, want to be like us. It was also the country that the communistic dictators of Stalin and Hitler hated. They hated what the prosperity of the common person. They hated it. And yet other countries admired and wanted to be like them. It is just so amazing. All through Exodus and Deuteronomy and the Torah is the repeated mandate that they were to pass these down to the next generation. Are you listening? Parent to child. Well, that is what our Constitution and Declaration is all about. I don't know if you know it or not. I'll be dealing with this more. I'm working on it right now. Our Declaration and Constitution are formatted. People know it comes from the Bible, but where in the Bible? A lot of it from the Torah, from the first five books of the Bible. And with that in common is the ideal it should be passed down to the next generation by the parent. The Torah is to be passed down from parent to child, taught in every home by parents to their children, because it has not been so passed down, we're about to lose it in America. Ronald Reagan. I'm going to quote it now, unless you want to play him. It's him saying it. I read it. Okay. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. Now, I love Trump. He's God sent. But I think Reagan had a better grasp of the fundamentals of freedom and justice and righteousness. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream, meaning bloodline. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day, and this is terrible, or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. I did it without crying. I went in and I read this to Judith. I couldn't get through it. And she said, you're pitiful. You're never going to make it. I made it without it. To me, that's just, those are powerful words. It needs to be passed down from parent to child. Teach your children the Bible, parents, the Gospels, filling of the Spirit by grace, and the Constitution. Pass it on. It is invaluable to their future. Each of these, the Gospel, the Bible, the Gospel, filling of the Spirit, the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, each of these teach true freedom. People, freedom's got to be understood. People, it's not just free from freedom. Freedom from freedom. You've got to understand the heart of freedom. And they teach each person individual responsibility. The Bible teaches responsibility. The gospel teaches responsibility. It's up to you to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior or suffer the consequences. It's up to you to be filled with the Holy Spirit by grace through faith or suffer the consequences. It's up to us to know and live the Constitution and the Declaration or suffer the consequences. What's happening in America today? Listen to the words of Jesus Christ. You don't need them, you know them. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What's the problem? We have government leaders who don't believe there's a truth. They do not believe in truth. They do not believe there is an absolute truth. They don't believe it. You're always searching for truth. You're always coming up to it. But it's out there. They don't believe in truth. And therefore, people, we're on the way of losing the freedom that Christ is talking about. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If you don't believe in truth, you will not experience that freedom, spiritually, economically, politically, in your land. The truth will set you free. But we don't live in a time when we adhere to the truth anymore. Our educational system, there is no truth. The Bible is not truth. God is not truth. That's what our young people are learning. That's why we need to be in prayer for them every day. See? So we're losing the truth and freedom. God gave to Israel these ordinances, these statutes, that other nations would admire and desire to imitate them. They will come to their God. He's our God. We want your God. We have all these idols. We want your God. We want your God, Israel. So was America, but no longer. We were once the greatest nation of individual freedom, and the average citizen prospered like no other nation on earth. But no longer. We stopped passing it down from parent to child. See? Parents made the decision let's let the church pass it to the children. Let's let the schools pass the political and those things and the civil to the children, not us. People, it's not the church's responsibility. It's the home's responsibility. It's not the school's responsibility. It's the parents. And added to that, the church, in a majority, in America today, in the world today, is not teaching it. The majority of the church today is immoral. Does not advocate the true gospel. And I think it goes without question that almost 95% of the schools are no longer anywhere near the truth as far as political, economic science is concerned. We're in grave trouble. We're in grave trouble in America. See? Few churches teach the truth. Few schools teach the truth. Okay. Ezekiel chapter 5. Verse 5. Thus says the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set her at the center of the nations, with lands around her. Now, by way of application, let's look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And in Matthew chapter 5, we're going to read verses 13 through 16. Matthew chapter 5. 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt becomes tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. People, he's talking about the church. That church isn't existing yet, but it's coming. Verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Verse 16. Would y'all leave me alone? Verse 16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. In other words, what I want you to see is the church is no different than Israel in this respect. We have not replaced Israel. There's no replacement theology. But God's design of Israel and God's design of the church is exactly the same. Israel was here to let the nations know about the Messiah. The church is all over the world, not in a place, not in a nation. All over the world to let the world know about the Messiah who's come, been crucified, and rose. That's why he's done these things. Ezekiel 5:6. But she has rebelled against my ordinances more wickedly than the nations, and against my statutes more than the lands which surround her. For they have rejected my ordinances and have not walked in my statutes. Let me tell you about the church. Look at 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5, 1. 1 Corinthians 5, 1. It is actually reported that there is immorality among you, an immorality of such a kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. You have become arrogant and have not mourned instead, so that the one who has done this deed would be removed from your midst. Think about this. This is the word of God. Look what it says. Removed from your midst. Oh no, we want to welcome all the homosexuals. We want to welcome all the adulterers. We want to welcome all these people. We want them to come on in. What does the word of God say? That they will be removed. People, we've moved away from the word of God. I'm sorry. We've moved away from it. The church is not unlike Israel in this respect. Ezekiel 5:7. Therefore, okay, I appointed Israel, I blessed it, they rebelled against me, they did not follow my ordinances, they did not walk in my statutes. Look at the first word of verse 7. It's a frightening word. Therefore, since Jerusalem had all the great privileges and rebelled against them, the penal judgment is introduced against her. Thus says the Lord God. See? Now, let's learn about the Lord God. The correspondence between guilt and punishment. That's God. The correspondence between guilt and punishment. Now, let's see what God is going to do. God is always fair in His judgments, in His manner of demonstrating His wrath of people. And people, let me tell you something. This includes our individual lives. Guilt. Discipline. God is fair. We may not like it, but it is the way God works. He is always fair, just, and righteous. So first, let's look at the guilt. First of all, let's look at the guilt. Because you have more turmoil than the nations which surround you, and have not walked in my statutes, nor observed my ordinances. Pay attention now, this is the closing remark on their guiltiness. Nor observed the ordinances of the nations which surround you. You haven't even picked up some of their good stuff. Now, while most heathen nations have laws that oppose God, they often have laws that are based upon what's written in the hearts of men by God. It is there that Jerusalem would not get in line. Let's look at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. We can study all of Romans 1 and 2, but let's just go to Romans chapter 2. Verses 14 and 15. Romans 2, 14 and 15. For when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these, not having the law, are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written on their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternating, accusing, or else defending them. Now, there are nations throughout history, like America used to be, anti-homosexuality. It just was wrong. Common sense showed them that. Man's body's not built for man. Woman's body's not built for a woman. It's an abomination. We don't do it. Not had anything to do with God. Having sex with another married man, wife, his wife, that doesn't make sense. We forbid it. Not because God said so. Just it doesn't make sense. They had things put in their heart by God. Remember, they're created in the image of God. So, they had these things in their heart. And here is Israel, can't even learn those kind of things from them. Okay, verse 8. Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 8. Here's your first word. Therefore. Thus says the Lord God. Okay, there's that introduction. Behold, pay attention, I, your God, am against you. And I will execute judgments among you in the sight of the nations. Think about that. What's God saying to them? In front of all the nations, I'm going to let you have it. Now why? Why would God do this before the heathen nations? It's simple. Jerusalem was to be a witness of and for God, of His righteousness. And they were to do this through His ordinances and statutes and judgments. Then these nations would be like Cyrus of Persia to see and to understand that they failed their own God. Cyrus is an unbelievable study. And he realized these Hebrews insulted their own God, rebelled against their own God. And their God made judgment against them. So, if this is what He will do to His own people, what will He do to us? What will He do to us? If He does this to His own people, we better get in line. See? How much more would His judgments be against us? If a foreigner comes to the United States and sees how we administer capital punishment against our own citizens guilty of a capital offense, they will sit up and take notice. But what is the way it is? We don't do it. They don't care. How many days a week do we hear of illegal alien murdered somebody? Generally, it's in California. But how often? It's all the time. Why not? America doesn't care what their own citizens do. They won't care what we do. See? With our own citizens to get by with so much injustice, they cannot, they're not concerned about it for themselves. Notice the all-important phrase, I will execute judgments. People, let's learn about God. Yes, He's love, but He is righteous. And righteousness demands righteousness. Love does not demand, but righteousness demands righteousness before it can be blessed. That's God. Please know Him. He is love, but He is righteous, and His love never circumvents His righteousness. And He demands righteousness to be benefited by His love. John 3:16. Look at Exodus 12. Verse 12. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, this is the Passover, and will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. He will execute judgments against the heathen nations, but He will execute judgment against His own people. I am the Lord. Look at Numbers 33, the Torah. Numbers 33, verse 4. While the Egyptians were burying all their firstborn, now think about that. In some cases these are babies. Some cases they're grown young men and women. The firstborn. Numbers 33, verse 4. While the Egyptians were burying all their firstborn, whom the Lord had struck down among them, the Lord had also executed judgments on their gods. This is what God does, people. This is our God. Do what? I gave it to you. That's right. Now, I want you to turn to Psalm 9. Psalms 9, the ninth Psalm. I want to read Psalm 9, 1 through 11. It's so powerful. Now, what we have in our Bibles, it says a psalm of thanksgiving. Look what it says. For the justice of God. For God's justice. For the choir director, a psalm of David. Now, let's take a look. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and exalt in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before you. For you have maintained my just cause. His cause is just, and God will maintain it. You have sat on the throne judging righteously. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemy has come to an end in perpetual ruins, and you have uprooted the cities. The very memory of them has perished. But the Lord abides forever. He has established His throne for judgment, not love, for judgment. He has established His throne for judgment. We looked at the Kingdom of God study Sunday morning. It really referring to the phrase Kingdom of God refers to the millennial kingdom. He's going to establish His throne for judgment. Now look at verse 8. That's our verse. And He will judge the world in righteousness. He will execute judgment for the peoples with equity, fairness. The Lord also will be a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare among the peoples His deeds. One more time, let's look at verse 8. And He will judge the world in righteousness. He will execute judgment. There's our phrase, execute judgment for the peoples with fairness. As far as Israel is concerned, I feel for the Muslim countries who hate and are hostile toward Israel. Because people, the day is coming when the Lord will execute judgment against them. This is a fact. It may sound funny, but I do. They're so arrogant and they're so brutal in their hatred of Israel and of the Jews. The day is going to come. God will execute judgment. It could be World War III, the beginning of the tribulation. And it will not be that difficult, because about 80% of the Muslims of the world live along the Euphrates River Valley running down to Babylon, all in that whole area. And that is the area Revelation says will be destroyed. He will execute judgment. Look at Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. And let's read 13 through 16 of Isaiah 66. Verse 13. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. And you will be comforted in Jerusalem. Then you will see this, and your heart will be glad, and your bones will flourish like new grass, and the hand of the Lord will be made known on His servants, to His servants, but He will be indignant toward His enemies. For behold, the Lord will come in fire, and His chariots like the whirlwind, to render His anger with fury. People, He's loved, but He's also righteous. He's also has wrath and fury, and His rebuke with flames of fire. For the Lord will execute judgment. There's that phrase. The Lord will execute judgment by fire, and by His sword on all flesh. And those slain by the Lord will be a multitude. Now look at Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33. 14 through 17. Behold, that means concentrate, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good word which I have spoken concerning the house of Israel and the house of Judah, the northern and southern kingdom. In those days, and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch of David, you know who that is, to spring forth. He shall execute justice and righteousness on the earth. In his first advent, he satisfied the righteousness of God on the cross. But the second advent, he's going to come with anger. He's going to come in wrath. He's going to execute justice and righteousness on the earth. Verse 16. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell in safety. People, it's interesting, no matter what happens to Jerusalem by the UN and by Iran, Iraq, and the countries around them today, don't get all upset. God has a plan for Jerusalem. It is an unbelievable plan. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell in safety. And this is the name by which she shall be called. The Lord is our righteousness. Verse 17, for thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel. And we all know who that is. That's our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, in case you think this is just Old Testament, look at John chapter 5. The Gospel of John chapter 5. I have more fun in my office. I have more fun going through all this. I read a multitude of passages. I picked out the ones we look at. They're just a part of all the ones I look at. And I have fun. And I decide, well, do I want to take the time to do it? Yeah, do it. Do it. Let's look at John, the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 25. Truly, truly, that means behold. I say to you, an hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment. There's our phrase, execute judgment. Because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth. Those who did good deeds, the good, that's believing in Jesus Christ, forget the word deeds, who did the good, that's believing in Christ, to a resurrection of life. To those who committed evil, rejection of Christ, a resurrection of judgment. So this is the fate that the world has to look forward to. Now, throughout Ezekiel, let's go back to Ezekiel 5. We have this is coming, the execution of judgment. Again, look at chapter 5, verse 8. Ezekiel 5, verse 8. Now behold, I will put ropes on you, so that you cannot turn from one side to the other until... Wait a minute. I'm in four. I didn't think it was right. Chapter 5. Yeah, there it is. Chapter 5. Let's look at verse 8. You already did. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I, even I, am against you, and I will execute judgments among you in the sight of the nations. Look ahead. Look at verse 10. Therefore, fathers, look at it. Fathers will eat their sons among you. Sons will eat their fathers. For I will execute judgments on you and scatter all your remnant to the wind. I'll execute judgment. The famine is going to be so bad. Parents will eat their children. children will eat their parents. This is going to happen. This did happen in the history of Israel. Look at 5:15. So, it will be a reproach, a reviling, a warning, an object of horror to the nations who surround you and execute judgments against you in anger, wrath, raging rebukes. I, the Lord, have spoken. People, I want you to understand God. What's coming to America? What's going to happen at the Great White Throne Judgment? It's going to happen. What's going to happen in the tribulation? All this love of God, God is love, is going to be debunked. People are going to run to the mountains and ask the mountains to cover them up. They're going to realize the love isn't there. Look at chapter 11. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 9. And I will bring you out of the midst of the city and deliver you into the hands of strangers and execute judgments against you. Look at chapter 16, verse 41. Chapter 16, verse 41, they will burn your houses with fire and execute judgments on you in the sight of many women. Then I will stop you from playing the harlot, and you will also no longer pay your lovers. We'll see what that means. Look at chapter 25. 25, verse 11. Thus I will execute judgments on Moab, and they will know that I am the Lord. Now he's going to turn against the enemies of Israel, who have come against Israel in their judgment. Look at verse 17 of chapter 25. I will execute great vengeance. Great vengeance! Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, on them with wrathful rebukes, and they will know that I am the Lord when I lay my vengeance on them. Now, they'll know it, but it'll be too late to believe in him. They'll be suffering his judgment. Look at 28, chapter 28, verse 22. Chapter 28, verse 22. Thus says the Lord. There it is. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Sidon, and I will be glorified in your midst. Then they will know that I am the Lord when I execute judgments in her, and I will manifest my holiness in her. People, he's a holy God. And you can either get with his holiness and reflect his holiness in your life, or you can reflect it by discipline. One way or the other. This will have to be done. Look at chapter 30, verse 14. Chapter 30, verse 14. I will make Pathos desolate. Set a fire in Zoan and execute judgments on thieves. This is what he's going to do, people. Okay. But the question arises, why? Why is God so hard on his execution of judgments against his own people, Israel and Judah? Let's learn about God. We've got to learn about God. Judgments from God is in proportion to spiritual knowledge, spiritual privilege, given by God. To whom much is given, much is required. That's the God. That's what he does. That's what he's going to do. America has been given much. Much has been required. And we're not doing it. When a fellow believer falls into sin, you don't have to add to their judgment. God is more than capable of executing judgment. It's up to you to execute Galatians 6, 1 and 3. Restore them. God will not tolerate. If he's blessed, he will call in the numbers. You've got to understand this about God. See, his judgment is in proportion to his blessing. And therefore, that's true of Israel. That's true of us individually. That's true of America. People, please know that God is a righteous God and will execute righteous judgment against individuals for sin as well as nations. He will do this throughout all history, in and through the church age, tribulation, the millennium. The millennium is going to be pure hell for anyone who decides to rebel against the plan of God. And as the millennium closes down, and there is a restoration of a multitude of unbelievers who want to rebel against God, there'll be no war. He'll just stomp it. And the tribulation and the millennium will be over. The great white throne judgment will come about, and people will spend all eternity under the wrath of God. Those who have known him as their Savior will spend all eternity in the blessings of God. This is why it is so important. If you have someone in your life, your family, that's an unbeliever, I suggest you pray for them and then go to them. Give them the truth. Give them the truth. Let's close in a word of prayer. Wow. We feel much more at ease when we study your love, your grace. But Heavenly Father, we need to be reminded of your righteousness. That you're a righteous God. And we need to pursue your righteousness. Pursue your ordinances, your statutes, and your word. New Testament, Old Testament. Study them, learn them. Let them guide us in our lives, our marriages, homes, work. We have this peace in our souls. No fear. Peace. Joy. We praise you, God, that you let us know the totality that you are, your fullness. Your love, your grace, your righteousness, your wrath. Father, I pray your Spirit use the things we've seen tonight to the honor and glory of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Honor and glory of Christ.